What do you make of this deal for Vancouver?
I think it's obviously you're pushing back. I understand Trent Klatt's in that deal too. You're pushing back the problem to another year, right? Like they took on a contract that's gone, you know, even with the retention, they've sort of borrowed from the future for now. And I think OEL can play it. The problem is you've got two of them now. I like Myers a lot. You've got OEL. That's a lot of money on your back line that is not playing a feature role. And it's like Vancouver is in, it's almost like they have to take their vitamins and they just refuse. They've got two great young players that they've got to sign, so this helps that. But you're just kicking a problem down the road. And I like Garland, but I think they gave up a big piece of their future today in that number 9 overall pick. There's a sense, I think, in Vancouver that you just can't. You have to be competitive every year, and maybe that's the fan base. But I think that they. They probably helped their team for next year, but now 2 years from now and then going on, they've added another substantial contract on the blue line, and OEL probably can play third pair, but you're paying a hell of a price for that third pair guy.
Do you like their top 9? I'll list them off. Miller, Pettersson, Besser. I'm going to go with Connor Gowland, Bo Hovat, Niels Hoglander. I love that little guy. And then probably Tanner Pearson, Dickinson, and then, you know, I don't know. It's not going to be Jake Virtanen, so pick a guy. Is that top 9 deeper than the Oilers' top 9, in your opinion, Mr. Lowtide?
Ask me the question again.
Is the Vancouver top 9 deeper than the Oilers' top 9?
Well, it is, because the Oilers' third line is I mean, I'm not sure where they're going with it. If they could get a pretty good center, then maybe you could talk about some of the wingers. I like some of the Oilers depth wingers, but they need a center there. Oilers, if they get Zach Hyman, their top two lines, I think are going to be, you know, they're going to be great. They're going to be very good. I'm a Hyman fan. I think he can slide in there. I think Nuge will recover. Obviously, Leon and McDavid are, you know, pretty good. So I think the Oilers would have the advantage there. But the third and fourth lines for the Oilers have been a problem. And I think the key is center, because, you know, I know people are upset at Cassian and the say, year and a bit he's had. But he's had success over the last 2 or 3 years, if you go back, and if he can get back to that, I think he could contribute there. We've got some young players coming up who might be able to help out on the left side. So it's there, but I think they need that center. So I'll say the top two lines, edge for the Oilers, third line, a definite edge for Vancouver.
Yeah, well, you got to see Vancouver, like, they still got to sign some guys, so I'm not sure all those guys you listed off, Struds, are all going to be there. I'd have to see what their cap space situation is, but Pettersson and Hughes need contracts, and so I'll be curious to see if they go short term with maybe a lower cap hit right now. So we'll see where it goes. Looking to the Edmonton Oilers, and I agree, Salina would have been a good fit for Edmonton, but you know, I don't know if, you know, obviously 14 wasn't as high as 19, so. You know, they don't have a third rounder, so they would have had something else. And, you know, Robert Hägg is, I guess it would have been Ethan Bear, right? So I don't think Edmonton was going to trade a first and Bear for Ristolainen at this point, right? And Bear is probably a little bit too high, but they don't have an equivalent to Robert Hägg.
Yeah, I think that's a trade. You know, Ristolainen looks like a really good defenseman, and he does a lot of great things, but he hasn't had a lot of success in Buffalo, and that may well be because they're playing him too high up the lineup, and he might flourish in Philadelphia. But there's enough risk on that trade that if I'm the Oilers, I probably, you know, back off of that one. I don't know what they're going to do to replace Adam Larson, and certainly in terms of size, Ristolainen fits the bill, but he also had some holes and some tough times defensively, and you're giving up. I thought Philadelphia gave up quite a bit too much. That's my opinion on Ristolainen, and we'll see. Could be wrong. He certainly is a big, strong guy, and he can do some things, but his numbers for some time now have been disappointing.
Well, and you add the draft picks to get rid of Gothisbeer, right?
Yep.
So it's really, you know, all that for Ritsalina, which, you know, I agree with you. I think what you're saying is that he should be better further down the lineup with a better team around him.
Because
it's hard to really blossom or to really show if you're, you know, if you're really a second pair defenseman, you're asking playing first and you're on a bad team. It makes it pretty hard. Now, guys, I've got a trade proposal for you. I want you both just to put your GM hat on for the Edmonton Oilers. Armstrong calls the Oilers and says, I'll give you Darcy Kemper for your first rounder and Mikko Koskinen. Do you do it? First rounder this year.
Oh.
Darcy Kemper? No.
Yeah.
I can't.
So Mikko Koskinen
and the Oilers first overall.
He's got a year left. A rental. I like Kemper. I probably, if I could sign Kemper, I'd have to look at his year last year. But I'm intrigued. I wouldn't do it unless I could make sure that it, because the idea of trading a first round pick for something that's not going to be here for several years, I think that's getting out too far in front of your skis, as Gregor likes to say.
It would have to be a sign and trade. You'd have to ensure that he was signed in order to do that. And I don't like that. You know, you're not saving any cap space, right? You're getting a better goalie, but your cap space is the same. So. Yeah, probably that's a lot for I don't think it'd have to be that much, to be honest. I think like Arizona's just like they got to keep somebody, right? Like that to me, the biggest mistakes teams make when they go in these rebuild modes is because you know what you get your young players pounded into the dirt every night. You can't compete, right? You can't compete. So like, I don't know. It would be they just traded Aiden Hill. Why are they like they're gonna if you're gonna trade Kemper? Like, to me, they must have had a plan to kind of want to try to keep him. Otherwise, you're not trading Aiden Hill.
Well, they just traded for an entire team out of Vancouver, so they're gonna have players, but they're not gonna be very good.
Yeah, well, let's be honest, guys. If you're Darcy Kemper, is there any way you're signing back with Arizona? There's not a chance.
No, I would have like, said this. I would have said the same thing about Oliver Ekman-Larsson Struds 2 years ago.
No. Yeah, but no, I mean, you look at this team right now, and it's so clear what they're doing. They're ripping it down. So, you know, you talk about their young players. Yeah, I think Clayton Keller probably has a future there, but Dvorak and Schmaltz, you know, they're 25 years old, 26. Like, you know, they're going to be there, but by the time this team gets good, are they still there? So I think they're going to tear this thing right down and take on bad deals. And so if I'm Darcy Kemper, I just say, guys, there's no way I'm signing here. No way. So you make your choice because it just doesn't make sense. You get pounded. Your team gets pounded. It's like for a goalie, it's a little different than maybe a winger because if you have a bad team in front of you, man, like you're going to struggle. So if he signs it, I will be floored. It could be the greatest place on earth, and my wife could be from there. She could run the Hudson Bay Company there in Phoenix. I would not sign there. I would be because they're not even trying to win. Like you look at that roster, are they trying to win? And I know they're not finished, but come on, like that's just a mess.
Well, today's trade was, I mean, honest to God, I thought the Philly trade they got a hell of a deal because I like Ghost Despair, but this trade you're. Like you are, you're taking on guys who are not going to help you in any way. And I know why Vancouver did it. They kicked the can down the road. Arizona, you're right. The ninth overall pick was what they wanted. But I'll tell you, the thing about Arizona that going back forever has been their problem is they'll make some good picks, but they don't make enough good picks to make it worth, you know, the rebuild, and they've done this forever. And you have to, if you've got all these picks, you've got to cash not just two, you got to get four or five, and they won't, or at least they haven't in the past.
Al Mitchell joins them at Sports Hitter TSN 1260. The Oilers at 19, Al. Now, if the goalies, one of the goalies slides, which I don't think is going to happen, every scout I've talked to, none of them have them going past like 14. So I don't think either one of the goalies are going to be there. So it's obviously going to be a forward. And, you know, various scouts you talk to. Now, obviously, it ultimately matters what Tyler Wright and his scouts think because everybody's going to have different opinions. If there's somebody they really like, they'll take them. If there's a team, though, that's willing to move up a few spots, I could see Edmonton sliding back a few to get another draft pick.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that you're, if you look at the Oilers this year, they have five picks, but they don't have any after 19 until like 116. So there are going to be players in there that they like, and they have five picks now. If you get to 19 and you feel like you can go to 25 and get something in the 60s for 19 for 25 and 68 or whatever, then that's probably probably something they'll consider. There's some really good scoring wingers that are going to be there at 19. I don't know if they're so much better than what you'd find at 25, and some of those guys might slide down because there's a couple of defensemen who could go in between 19 and 25. So they'll probably take a risk if they do move down a few spots, like five or six. But getting another pick would be, a good idea. The Oilers are not... They've got some nice young prospects, but they're not, you know, awash with great prospects in every spot.
Low tide, if let's assume though the Oilers and Hyman agree on a deal. So it's Hyman with McDavid and
Harvey. It's pretty much done, Struds. I can tell you it's okay. Just a matter of whether or not it's going to be a 7-year or an 8-year deal. And here's the thing. So here's a question I want to ask both of you. Sorry to interrupt. Hyman, you can get him at 7 years at 5.5, or you get him 8 years at 5.1. But you have to give up. Like right now, Toronto's asking for a second, and Edmonton's like, "Well, why would I do that? I'll just wait till Wednesday." So you know, Edmonton offered a sixth, so they could get the eighth year. Is it worth it for you guys to give up a sixth to lower the AAV by $400K?
Well, if it's worth it to Ken Holland, if you need the money, then yeah, and they're gonna need the money. Because they've got Nurse and Bear and Puljujarvi a year from now, so $400,000 is gonna matter. So and it if it's a sixth or even a fourth, then it's you don't want to trade the pick for nothing, and you want to get a trade back, and maybe you don't. But a fourth round pick is not the hill you die on.
But see, I think I'll disagree with you as far as that, though, Ty, because I think when you look at it, like, they're giving out picks like Gregor gives out candy bags at Halloween. Like, it's at some point, you're going to need some of those. So you keep kicking it down the line. Okay, we'll give a fourth two drafts from now. Well, then also you need a fourth to make a trade. Like, they lost the trip picks this year. They got traded third rounder last year for Kulikov this year. Let's say it's a fourth in 2 years. Like, you need some of that capital to make trades. You know, just keep pushing it down the line. Like, when you look at the Canadians went to the finals last year. You look at all the picks they have and that capital they have to make moves. The Oilers didn't make it out of the first round. Their draft picks left look like the Tampa Bay, who won the Stanley Cup. And there's a big difference there, right? And that's where I get a little bit dodgy on it. So I think I tell Toronto, say, you know what? We'll give you future considerations. And well, the future considerations we got from Carolina for Dylan Wells, you can have those.
you were a third round pick. All the good players are done by the end of the third round. So fourth round pick.
You know what's funny now? If the draft happened today, if I was drafted, I'd be a late second rounder. That's how much skill there was there. You know,
so are you
think
better?
About that.
Because you were like 63rd overall. That's
63.
Second round, baby.
It is, but I think the game's changed a little bit, right? That's like suggesting that the Model T is the fastest car ever built, you know? And
you weren't that slow.
Yeah, well, no, but just like it, I can't say like, you know, like I know where I fit in the slot, but no, that's honestly a little tight. That's how I feel about it. Like the Oilers, they just, you can't just keep, you know, just giving it away. And I think it becomes very dangerous because when you need it, you're going to like, oh man, we don't have it. Okay, that's fine. Let's do it the next year, right? And it's kind of like escrow. The players are just kicking it down the line, and eventually that bill has to be paid.
Don't you think, though, that like Holland is all in? It's go time. And, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 or whatever it is over the next several years, it might be the difference between buying out and not buying out somebody. I what's more important, 500 grand or a fourth round pick on a team that really needs the money in the next 3 or 4 years? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, no, you make the good point. Yeah, I guess, you know, well, ultimately you need picks to make trades at the deadline. You know, that's kind of what it comes down to. And, you know, like they made the trade for Anthony. Now, to be fair, you know, things kind of went sideways in the world, but those two picks could have got you a taste. You know, would that have been something they're interested in, right? And they didn't have the choice. So it's a It'll be interesting. Well, no, because I just feel like they're going all in right now, and there's so far to go. I don't know if they have enough. I don't know if they have enough capital to go all in to really make it to where they need to. Might be a good team, but to get to from what are they just outside the top 10 teams to get to the top of that mountain? Put those two rosters together, Tampa and Edmonton. It's a long road. It's a long road.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'm not discounting the picks. I'm not. But you're right. You need to have pieces that you can trade at the deadline. And I don't, like, I don't know if $400,000 is going to be important. I talk like I do, but I don't. But I think they're going to. What killed Chiarelli was not killed him, but what ended his career here as GM was the summer he signed Chris Russell the second time. And look, Russell has been a fine player for the Oilers. I'm not putting him down. When they signed him, they just didn't have any more money. So then the next summer they had to sign Ty Ratty as a right winger, and they needed somebody who was a little higher on the food chain, and they just didn't have the money. And you know, Holland has talked about this. He talked about this at the media avail about, you know, I need money for next year. Well, damn straight he does, and maybe it's important enough to make that move. I don't have your answer, and you make a compelling argument, which you always do, Jason, unless you're talking about the New York Giants.
Al, I just want to say, of all the moves Chiarelli made, Chris Russell, I don't even think is in the top six worst moves that he made.
No,
it definitely wasn't like Taylor Hall trade, Griffin Reinhardt, Jordan Eberle, then the Ryan Strome trade. Like the thing about Chris Russell is he might have been slightly overpaid, but if you look at minutes played and everything that Chris Russell did year after year, and his analytics numbers weren't even bad, he's not even close to the problem for the Edmonton Oilers, funny enough.
No, what I'm saying is he wasn't. I mean, if you look at his goals against per 60 at 5-on-5, all down the line here with the Oilers, he's done what you would expect him to do. My point is, if that's your last $4 million and you spend it and you have more problems and you can't trade anybody, then it doesn't matter who you spend the money on. That's your last $4 million, and that's what happened to Chiarelli. He simply didn't. The year he traded, I remember he went to July 1st, and he signed Ty Ratty and a bunch of AHL guys, and that's all the money he had. And you know, Russell was the final one, but the problem wasn't Russell. The problem was they ran out of money. They had no more room.
LT, who are the Oilers picking at 19? No trades. Who are they picking?
I think if there's no trades at all, my dog's about to bark, and I'm so sorry. I think if there's no trades at all, it's going to be a guy named Zachary Bolduc from the Rimouski Oceanic.
Oh, Bolduc. All right. Okay. We'll see. Awesome. LT, enjoy the draft.
Boys, have a great weekend.